Well, I'd like to thank the committee for offering me the opportunity to address the group about the type of work that we're doing in forest operations, and to also have 30 minutes to talk. That's a different experience for me here at these meetings. So what I am going to try to focus on is highlight some of the work that is being done to manage forest operations and limit the impact that they have in the forest. So the concept of sustainability and soil quality are part of the lexicon now for us as scientists and as researchers. But these are, although maybe loggers and forest managers might not use these particular terms, they are part of their the overview that they have of a forest system and managing it. They are looking at sustainability issues. They are trying to maintain some kind of lessening the impact on the site. And although these might not be terms they use very often, limiting the impact is an important aspect of any forest operation. And as we all know, forest operations are part of the production cycle in forestry. From harvesting at this location and up through site preparation, reforestation, through management activities related to thinning, and finally a harvest. People are interested, or land managers and loggers are interested, in maintaining the quality of the forest soil so that they are having a less of an impact and maintaining the functions that we've come to realize are very important in forest production. In terms of indicators, oftentimes the impacts that we that are expressed in terms of forest operations usually center around physical properties, and that's what we primarily have worked on in our lab, is looking at the impact on physical properties. And as it so happens, many of these are part of the physical or soil quality indicators, and three that are commonly referenced or reported in the literature are bulk density, the texture, and soil strength. And these can act as surrogates for other aspects of soil quality related to aggregate stability, water holding capacity, infiltration, and then trafficability, and how that's affected by the type of texture that you might find at that location. So, sad fact, or one of the facts of life, is that soil or forest operations do have an impact on the soil. And they can range from a place on the point on the landscape where you see where it has been trafficked. There's evidence of a tire print of some sort that seems to compress or be impressed in the soil surface layer. In wet sites, we can get a lot of rutting and displacement due to the fact that the soils are fairly wet. And within any kind of harvest operation, that the distribution of these impacts can be quite extensive, and that where they are exactly in the landscape oftentimes is not apparent. And as we all know, any time that you get any kind of compaction or any kind of change in soil volume, that's going to change the arrangement of air, water, soil, and organic matter within the soil system. So that what we're concerned about is lessening that impact. We know we will have an impact, but we want to try to minimize it as much as possible. So what is typically done in forest operations or forest engineering is to try to understand the machine factors that have an impact on the soil, and how the soil responds to those machine factors. Several factors in machine systems that are often mentioned or reported in the literature deal with tire size, with inflation pressures, and how that they can minimize the impact from loads that are placed on the soil. In this case, I'm showing an experiment that was done at our lab where they used two different locations in Alabama, showing the impact on an upland site and a bottomland site, and how tire size is affecting the soil response, in this case, rut depth. And we see that, and this is data from a skidder that had passed over the soil in 9 passes, and the results show that as the tire, the shorter or the less width on the tire, that had a greater impact on rutting on the site, and it was typically extensive in a bottomland site, which you would expect due to the fact that these are very wet sites and the soil strength or bearing capacity of the soil is not as strong as you would find in an upland site. And as you increase the tire size, you see that these were, in this particular experiment, that they were fairly equal. And as you move to even wider tires, that the impacts on this bottomland site were smaller than the upland site. And that's due to the fact that as the tire width increases, you have a wider impact on the on an upland site compared to a bottomland site. So if we look at the relationship of between inflation pressure and load, that what we want to do is as we increase the load, we want to minimize that impact from increasing loads on as we carry wood off of a site by changing the inflation pressures that could minimize or limit the amount of impact on the site. If we have a load of 10 kilonewtons, we see that the increase in inflation pressure does have an impact, and it has a fairly small increase compared to if we increase the load, we see that this relationship increases with each increase in inflation pressure. And at 30 kilonewtons, we can see that we have impacts related to all the inflation pressures, and what this data is telling us is that we might want to be cognizant in the field of how much load that we are allowing the machines to carry and how we might change inflation pressures in order to minimize the impact. We can see that what we've used here as our response variable, bulk density, and that has increased from approximately 1.45 at the highest pressure here with 10 up to almost above 1.6 for this particular location. So you can see that as you increase the load, that the inflation pressures can offset some of that impact, but that we need to be cognizant that we might not want to carry as much load as we possibly can. The 40 data, the load, the 40 kilonewton data, seems to imply that if you put a lot of load, that we'll be able to have less impact. But what data has shown, and within this kind of experiment, is that there might not be as much impact on the soil surface as much as we are compacting or affecting the deeper layers of the soil with higher loads. So we need to be cognizant that although the surface layer might not show that there's much impact, that if we look deeper in the profile, we'll see that there are impacts from carrying such a load and not offset by inflation pressures. In terms of looking at with depth, what happens with the cone index or soil strength measurements, you can see that inflation pressures at a constant load of 30 kilonewtons, in this particular example, that the inflation pressures actually increase soil strength to the highest level, and with each lower inflation pressure, the impact wasn't as great. But we did see with the pre-traffic, there was evidence of a hard pan, an area in the soil profile where the soil strength has gone up to such a level that it actually can impede root growth and water movement and organic matter through the soil so that it might impact productivity. The traffic pans are typically not often formed in a lot of the soils that we've looked at, but they can happen, and they often have to be minimized with some other type of treatment. One aspect of tire size that can possibly be offset is inflation pressure. Data that I used in the first slide, using at tire size, we see that as we go from 28 inches through 50, we can see that that has an effect on reducing the amount of bulk density. But if we look at the tire size 43 inches, but we change the inflation pressure, we can see that there's less impact by changing the inflation pressure. So we want to be cognizant of the fact that we can have an impact, lessening an impact, by changing the inflation pressure on a tire. And oftentimes on these very wet sites, we see that there's the use of dual tires, two tires side by side, that allow the impact to be spread out over a wider area where that has less impact on the soil. And it's often said, but not often reported, that the texture of the soil is an important component of the impacts, the final impacts on the site. And in this particular instance, in this study, they looked at three different soil types, texture types, and looked at the changing compaction. And we can see that in this sandy loam over here on the left, that as inflation pressure, as pressures, load pressures increase, that the depending on the moisture condition of the soil, it had an impact on the amount of change in compaction. In this case, this would be an increase in bulk density this was based on. I can see that for a sandy loam, that the the drier the soil, and this was around maybe around 9 or 10 bar when the soil is drying out, that the load that was imposed on the soil had very little impact. Where is cursor? And as moisture increased, we saw an increase in compaction up to about 40% change. That it increased by 40%, and that the amount of load or the amount of pressure on the soil surface could mitigate the effects of changes in moisture content. But if we move to a sandy clay loam and then a clay, you can see that the moisture at the time of the impact had an impact on, or had a significant effect on, the soil response. And this is really evident in the wet site, where we see that regardless of the pressure that was imposed on the soil, that this had a significant response in the sandy clay loam. And it was in the clay type soil that the response of the soil was fairly consistent as it went up in moisture content and load, that the soil responded accordingly and actually increased quite a bit in compaction status. One aspect of forest operations that is often utilized, especially in wet sites, is taking advantage of the amount of organic material that's on the soil. They often lay cuts, trees, limbs, or material that they've harvested on the soil to protect the soil from the amount of traffic movement over it. And this study that was done in Alabama was trying to show that as the soil, depending on the whether it's dry or wet and the number of passes, we could mitigate the impact to the soil by utilizing the slash material that was available on the soil surface. And we can see that in the one pass in the dry condition that we did get an impact from the machine movement over the soil from the pre-traffic level to the post. But if we move to five passes, you can see that where there's no slash material, we had a significant, or we had a very clear impact on the soil, which was somewhat modified, ameliorated by the 10 kilograms per square meter, up 20 kilograms per square meter on the ground that mitigated the impact of that particular impact on the soil. And as we move to a wet site, you can see that there was some mitigation of the amount of passes on the site, and that there was some protection from the 20 kilograms per square meter, but that we would that we did see a more of an impact in the wet site, which you might expect. Now, in changing the way that we're focusing on the impact of forest operations, the most of my colleagues are engineers. They look at it from the engineering, from the machine point of view. And I've been trying to get them to turn it around and look at what impacts they're having in the soil layer and how we can look at the impacts, what kind of methods should we use, and what kind of and how do those relate to what we're changing in the soil. And in this case, oftentimes you'll see reported in the data the a method that oftentimes is used in a study to determine the impacts and where they're located in the landscape is the tabulation of soil disturbance classes. And in this particular instance, in a site up in northern Alabama, at the end of the harvest, we are able to determine that these five classes were most common at that particular location. And these included sites or places on the land that looked like there was no trafficking, to sites that looked like there had been a tire that passed over it but didn't disturb the litter. And then there's the ubiquitous and ever-present skid trails that were present, and then a bit of rutting on the site. And some of it was less than 6 inches, and some was greater than 6 inches. And you can see that the soil response to it showed that maybe there wasn't much impact with these three different types of soil disturbance on the soil response, but that the soil response was greater in places where soil rutting was greater on this site. But if we compare that with another site that has a different kind of location and soil texture. In this case, this is a site down in South Alabama near the Kanaka National Forest, where after the harvest took place, that the types of disturbances that we saw were untrafficked. It didn't look like any compaction at all. Traffic with litter. There was evidence of tires moving over the soil to skid trails. We did not see any rutting. We did not see any kind of other disturbance on the site. And so my point on this is that the soil type and the movement of the machines over the site are going to have an impact on the types of disturbances that you get. So these are not set in stone kinds of estimates, but rather exclusive or oftentimes just exclusive to that type of environment. In this slide, what I'm trying to show, going back to the Northern Alabama study, that you can have similar soil type in this location in Northern Alabama, but that depending on how the machines perform the management prescription that you prescribe for that particular stand, in this case, this was a deferment cut, a strip cut, and a clear cut, were looked at in terms of regeneration, and we found that with cone index or soil strength measurements, that the deferment cut had the greatest impact on soil strength. And that was attributed to the fact that the machines had to travel over the surface so often that they actually increased the amount of soil strength, or the soil response to it was greater in terms of soil strength. And that the impact related to clear cut was not as great, but still there was some impact. And that when we look at the cut strips within the stand, see that there's even less impact. So that what we recognize is that management can have a major impact on your soil response to any kind of harvest. One aspect of determining soil or where trafficking impacts occur is it was an open question. And this study was performed in our lab looking at using GPS equipment on top of skidders and feller bunchers to monitor where they moved through the landscape. This was a 25 hectare location near our lab in Auburn. And we can see that in this area where the highest amount of trafficking occurred was the landing area. And as the feller bunchers moved out into the stand, there was less trafficking that occurred. But there was still impact on the soil. And this data was translated into number of passes. And as we looked at the range of passes, you can see that the areas of the stand where no impact occurred were quite high. If we looked at the whole track, that almost 50% of the site, or a little bit over, was not trafficked, or at least from the data, that the GPS data. Whereas if we looked at a smaller portion of the track, you can see that number went down to 38%. But still, there was a large amount of the property that was the stand that was not impacted. And that as you go from one pass up to four passes, that this, you had a decline in the area that was estimated to be trafficked. And this 9 represents the range of passes from 5 to 9, and then from 9 to 24 passes. Each particular point on the ground had less, there were less places but higher levels of impact. And that could potentially increase the stand productivity throughout the stand. Where it is could be related back to this map here. And the data was evaluated according to how that translated, how the soil disturbance was related to the amount of passes. And what they found was that, and using soil strength as our response variable, was that in the untrafficked, or where the where there was evidence of no passage, that the in the surface and subsurface, that the cone index value was about up to about 1.5. And as we moved into these categories where we termed them slightly disturbed, which would be traffic with litter, or maybe some of the litter was displaced, to heavily disturbed, which would be rutting or some kind of soil movement or soil displacement on the site, you see that the cone index values increase. So we know that we're in this range here now where theoretically people have proposed that this is root limiting on a site. So that we can see that in this particular case, we were able to link the disturbance with the number of passes. This did not work very well for relating it to the measures of bulk density and soil strength, because the pixels, or the traffic pixels, were not were wider than what you would did not reference well with where we put soil samples. So there is some indication that maybe you would not be able to use this to do a specific point soil assessment, but that you can get some information from the spatial variability with this type of operation. In this case, we're looking at soil strength, and what we see in this case is that the soil strength with the spatial variability is a classic spatial variability form in which that the spatial variability increases to a point, and so all the soil strength in the surface layer is related in a 20-25 meter area, and as you go further away from a point, it becomes it's not related to those values that you've assessed at that location. We show that the spatial variability was a lot less for the subsurface layer. So you could have a topsoil layer where there's a lot of similar soils, similar soil strength measurements, but when you went into the subsurface layer, you see that it did not, that the area was much smaller. So that might have an impact on productivity. Now, in terms of taking all these measurements, how do we relate them back to a measurement that can give us an idea about what impact we're having on the site? And one way that they often do this is by doing a proctor test, which tells us the relationship between water content at that location, and the response of the bulk density to the amount of impacts that are applied to a soil. And then this is supposed to translate into telling us what the maximum compaction of that particular site is. And some of our data show that if you have a sandy loam location, that the maximum compaction that you might expect is approximately 1.62. And that if you change the texture, that that might increase up to about 1.7 in terms of bulk density. And that if you're interested in not achieving this high bulk density, that you would take advantage of what you know about this curve, and that if you have less water on the site or more water on the site, that you can have a minimize that impact. We applied this to the site in the site that was GPS, where we looked at bulk density, and this is surface and subsurface, and we took the Dadao and Warrington estimates of maximum compaction that would be root limiting by texture, and we applied that. We looked at the soil surface, and the range was 1.65 to 1.75, and when we did the compaction test, we got 1.62, and if we look back here to this to our results, we see that we're below that level. So we might not have impacted the site as much as we might have expected. And one aspect of the project is that we are looking at reference locations, and in this case, a 200-year-old longleaf stand with planted pine and a row crop stand. We find that this allowed us to have information that was in relationship to the impacts of these sites. We found that row cropping and planted pines did not have as much, were fairly similar in their stand bulk density, and that if we want to, we can try to use this as a reference point to move towards in terms of having productive increasing our productivity. And in terms of recommendations, what they recommend in machine systems is to decrease axle loads, spread the load, and control traffic on the site. With soils, it's less clear how you would go about predicting what the impacts on the soil would be. And all of this is important because, as we all know, we're going to increase the amount of material taken off. Right now we're experimenting with ways to bundle forest residues off a site. They're experimenting with ways to bale the understory in a managed or natural stand and use that for energy production. And we're also looking at machine impacts on short rotation, which you would expect to be even heavier than what you might find on a managed or natural stand. So we're concerned in terms of these kinds of potential impacts on the site and how that relates to soil productivity and how we can maintain it. And I thank you for your attention.